This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
And this is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast. It's all things business across the state of Florida. And as those of you who have been listening, over the course of the last half dozen segments, we are at the annual 2022 Florida Economic Development Council's conference. We are in beautiful downtown St. Pete. We are at the Hilton Bayfront, and this is a room full of economic development professionals from across the state of Florida, all the folks that are dedicated to helping Florida's business community start, grow, and expand. Incredible conference. Lots of great guests if you've been tuning in. And as all of you also know that have been listening, we've got our very good friend and co-host for Small Biz Florida, standout business school professor at Indian River State College, Dr. Herb Ricardo. Again, Herb, thank you so much for co-hosting and sharing duties here at the FEDC conference.
Tom, thanks so much for allowing me to be here. It's great. It's been a really terrific time.
Great guest. Anxious to get into this conversation. I love this organization. I love what they do. Incredible work. It is the Able Trust. And we've got with us Donna Wright, the Director of Development and Marketing. Donna, thanks for taking time out and welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Thanks so much, Tom. I'm excited to be here in St. Pete with everybody.
Yeah, incredible place. Incredible
it's not
place.
Not a bad place to have to come to work.
That's right. That's right.
No, listen, I'm looking forward to this one. Donna, I don't claim to be an expert on the Able Trust, but I will be after the next 15 minutes. But I know enough about Able Trust to know the work that your organization does is incredibly powerful work, connecting Florida's employers to a very, again, powerful group of individuals that can serve as employees for all of these companies across the state of Florida. A group that's really probably been overlooked through the years, but because of the work that Able Trust does, you are bringing exposure to a needed resource in the state of Florida, and really always impressed with the work that you've done, and I loved getting to know you and your team and the whole Able Trust group. We got a chance to get to know each other in Tallahassee a number of months ago. So really appreciate the partnership with the SBDC.
Thank you. So do we. This has been a wonderful partnership. It just continues to grow. And we're excited about the work that we're doing.
Nice. All right. So as always, I want to start just give us a little bit of your background, pathway to the Able Trust.
Thanks. So I started my career in special education. I went to school, studied psychology, studied special education, studied elementary education, and started my career. I was a special educator for 8 years prior to just being a full-time wife and a mother. So I spent the first, handful or almost decade of my professional life in a classroom. So hands-on, working with students, primarily with severe behavioral and emotional disorders, and have a deeper appreciation for our educators than I could ever explain. It was a wonderful time, and from that, had two beautiful kids and stayed at home, worked with a lot of not-for-profits just volunteering. And from that, changed course a little bit and decided that I wanted to serve just by working in the not-for-profit sector.
All right, nice.
And so I was approached by Goodwill Industries in the Big Bend to go and work for them. Again, getting to sort of pair my passion for working with persons with disabilities, but also being out in the community and serving in more of a communications public relations aspect. And so our CEO at Goodwill, Fred Schelfer, shared with me, he said, I think you're kind of a Goodwill success story. So I had been out of the workforce for a few years, went into a job that I was not trained to do. Goodwill took a chance on me, shaped me, and then let me go and sent me to work for the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity.
Wow.
And so I was very fortunate to work there under Sissy Proctor when she was there, and Governor Scott, and the opportunities that I had there to travel the state and learn about economic development and workforce development could never fully thank the governor and Sissy for that opportunity. And while I was there doing external affairs, I had the opportunity to work with their Unique Abilities Partnership Program. And from there, still loving the work in the PR world, I was fortunate enough to go to the Florida Chamber of Commerce as the COO of the Florida Chamber Foundation.
Nice.
And loved the work we were doing there. The Florida 2030 Blueprint has laid out our map for our state for the next few years. We've only got a few more years to go. But I really just missed and have that passion for working with persons with disabilities or finding a way to serve and help in that way. And so I was fortunate to have an opportunity to go to the ABLE Trust. Nice. And follow my mentor, Tony Carvajal, who had been there leading the ABLE Trust at the time. And that's where I am now. So it's really been full circle for me.
Wow.
I share a story about the first student that ever walked into my very first classroom in 2002 was a student that had cerebral palsy, but also suffered a stroke at birth and was told he would never live to be a teenager. He also had suffered from some pretty severe epilepsy, and at about 10 years old had some surgery a hemispherectomy to stop the seizure activity, and a large portion of the left side of his brain was removed. So he suffered a lot of behavioral and emotional side effects as a result of that, and survived the operation and was a student in my classroom, first student in my classroom, but even was told then that he would never graduate, never have a job. So fast forward to his graduation that I was able to attend from high school. He graduated from Florida State. He was at my wedding. I was at his. And just this Sunday, I met his daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the students that I had the opportunity to teach are in the workforce now, and they're living successful lives. And that is my why. Because the opportunities that are out there for anybody with any ability that needs a job or desires a job, they should have that.
Sure. Wow. Great story and great why. I mean, a perfect explanation and I love it. And that's what I do really, love about the ABLE Trust is the work you're doing. And it is, we talk about in business, making things a win-win for everyone. ABLE Trust really is one of those win-wins. It's a win-win for your stakeholders, win-win for your partners, and win-win for Florida's employers. Now tell us a little bit about the ABLE Trust, purpose, mission of the organization.
Sure, absolutely. So the ABLE Trust was actually created by the legislature about almost 32 years ago. So we were created to be the direct support organization for Florida vocational rehabilitation. And so every state has a VR program. Florida is the only state with an ABLE Trust. So it's the only state that has a foundation also supporting vocational rehabilitation. So that's what we were created to do in statute. And we spent probably the first 30 years of our work. Of course, our mission is to be Florida's statewide leader in disability employment. And we were doing that, but we were primarily doing that by working with providers across our state. So These are the boots on the ground folks. These are the folks that are out there every day working, job coaching, teaching, and helping individuals that have a disability that want to be in the workforce have that opportunity. Now we're taking a little bit of a shift and are spending a lot more of our time focused on the business community. We know that businesses are an answer, the answer, if you will, to a lot of the things that we have going on, a lot of the crises that we have going on, but they're responsible for a lot of the success of our state. And small businesses are, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, the backbone of Florida's economy. So we've shifted our focus a little bit more in repositioning to work on disability employment by being the thought leader for workforce disability employment with businesses. Our board of directors is appointed by the governor, and Governor DeSantis has appointed incredible board members. All of our board members have a connection to our mission, so they are either a person living with a disability or perhaps a family member or a loved one, and they are pushing us really hard to advance our strategic plan and to get out there and really engage more with businesses. So we're going to be doing that and doing a lot of data and research at the same time so that the businesses have the numbers that they need. And that's what we're doing.
So in a nutshell, basically what Able Trust does is connect a disability potential individuals with disabilities to potential employment opportunities. And of course, I don't think it goes without saying, we have an employment gap in the state of Florida right now. So again, I go back to kind of the win-win. I mean, you really are a big answer for, again, your stakeholders, those that you represent, and Florida's employers. Is that a fair assessment? You're connecting employers to potential employees.
That is exactly right. And you're 100% right about this employment gap. So you hear from our friends at the Florida Chamber all the time, there are so many more jobs looking for people than people looking for jobs. And so there is also an incredibly big gap for labor force participation in our state and our nation compared to the labor force participation of persons with disabilities. That gap is about 40%, and it has been consistently around 40% since that data began being tracked back in the early 70s after the Americans with Disabilities Act. And so our mission right now, when I mentioned how we are repositioning at the Able Trust, is solely focused on narrowing that gap and closing that gap. And we cannot do that without the support of our business community and getting them the tools that they need so that they can be successful when they say, all right, we do have a workforce crisis right now. We need to consider talent pools that we haven't considered before. And in an economy where you can just about work from anywhere, or right, you can work in a hybrid environment, we believe that persons with disabilities are the answer, or one of the answers, to the talent crisis that we're facing right now.
Yeah, again, what a terrific organization. A couple of things, that come to mind. Publix, for many years, did a terrific job in working with and hiring, employing individuals with disabilities. What's your strategy when you go into an organization and you talk about what you provide as far as services?
So, and thank you for that question. And I'm going to come back to Publix in just a minute too, because an incredible organization that, like you said, has been so supportive of diversity in the workforce. Our strategy is to first listen. And so we recognize that economic development looks different in every part of the state and every pocket. So what works in Leon County, or what the needs are in Leon County, are totally different than it is here in Pinellas or Hillsborough or across the state and our friends in Brevard. And so our first step is to listen. And we are actually about to start some listening tours across the state where we will spend some time in communities learning about what their needs are. What are their hiring needs? What is the talent pool that already exists? What are the colleges and universities in the area? What are the service providers? So you mentioned we connect providers. So our providers are the folks that are the boots on the ground, and we're able to connect the businesses. So first we have to go and listen, learn what the needs are, what the assets are, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. When a company says, all right, we're interested, we're in, we've never met a business, by the way, that does not support this. They just don't know how.
Sure.
So we go in and help hiring managers, HR directors, with the tools that they need to be able to connect to the providers in their area, to recruit, to talk to the existing staff. And, you know, we are actually doing a pilot with the Florida SBDC network.
Excellent.
So excited to be working on this. Greg Britton has been a champion of our work and is committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion for Florida SBDC networks. And so we're actually starting a pilot with Greg and with the team where we will create a training model that we can go in to help support all of the SBDC consultants and the small businesses when they are ready to go out and help and provide the tools that they need. So listing tours, and then from that, the tools that they need, we'll give them the data about persons with disability in their community. We'll also look at education graduation rates, poverty rates. What's the infrastructure around that that's going to be needed? Bring in the right community partners,
right,
and work on that. But we're doing it in each area because it's just not a one size fits all.
Right. Sure. Excellent. And you talked about, kind of give us an example, because I'm also a little familiar with the Publix program. What does that model look like at Publix?
All right. So, well, Publix has an incredible model because one of the things that Publix does is they recognize anybody of any ability level can come to work for Publix from the bagger to the C-suite.
Correct.
And Publix's model provides both front of the house and back of the house training, but it took them, this was not an overnight thing for Publix. This is hard to do. This is a vulnerable population, and oftentimes our HR teams are not sure how to talk to them. What are the right questions that I need to ask so that I can ensure that I'm respecting privacy, but also providing my teammates with the tools that they need to be successful? Right. What are those accommodations for my existing team members that may be living with a disability that could just be a stool? It could be a $25 screen on a computer. Right. To enlarge that, these are not very expensive accommodations, but they are going to pay dividends because this population of talent are loyal, they are productive, they care very much about their work. And what Publix has done a great job is ensuring that they are continuing to coach all the way from those entry-level jobs to let their teammates know, you have a place here at Publix no matter what you want to do. We have jobs in financial services. We have jobs in leadership. We have jobs in communications. We have jobs in you know, production. So the Publix has done a great job with that. And what I'm about to tell you, I mean, no disrespect to Publix at all. I'd be hard-pressed to find a business that that I love in Florida more than Publix. But we think we may have a little bit of a Publix problem, because I bet most people, when you say, what do you think about when you think about persons with disabilities in the workforce? You think about that individual that greets you with that smiling face at Publix or when you're checking out. But persons with disabilities in the workforce are so much more than even that. They are college professors. I've got a picture here in front of me. I wish you all could see it. I'll have to share it with you, of kind of the faces of disability employment: college professors, journalists, fitness trainers, the greeter at Publix, the Publix bagger, an ice cream shop owner. I think you had opportunity to talk to
him. Yes, absolutely.
A nonprofit executive, hotel beverage cart attendants, an ICU nurse. I mean, the list just goes on.
And you know, Donna, you're absolutely correct. Many moons ago, I was a director of human resources in a children's psychiatric hospital. And I remember when we were going through Americans with Disabilities Act, and reasonable accommodation is usually not that that much. People think that you have to make all these major changes. You don't. Just like what you were talking about, a small screen, just some kind of, you know, usually under $500 and even less can be that accommodation. Yeah. So you're absolutely correct.
And one of the things that we like to share, too, is that, yes, having persons with disabilities in your workforce is going to, it's going to sharpen your culture. It's going to do all of those warm and fuzzy things, but it's going to pay dividends. Okay. There are data out there that show that hiring a diverse and inclusive workforce is going to impact your bottom line.
Yes.
And so we tell businesses, we're not asking you to lower the bar.
That's right.
We're asking you to widen the door.
Wow.
Good. That's great.
Nice. And you know, you did, I think you guys produced a survey back in 2020 that kind of really has some interesting data points. It came out 81% of the businesses that hired disabled folks felt they performed the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then 87% identified diversity and inclusion as important to their hiring practices. And I think that's what you just touched on.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that our research that we're going into now is to follow up on this. So we know that we know that businesses want to do this, but they don't often have the tools to do that. In a large corporation, a lot of large corporations are fortunate to have a team of folks dedicated to diversity, equity, and inclusion, or social or corporate responsibility. Our small businesses, oftentimes your HR director is also the front desk attendant.
Right, correct.
So they're wearing a lot of hats, and so we need to go in and meet them where they are. But I want to come back to diversity, equity, and inclusion a little bit, because these are conversations that the Able Trust is dedicated to being a part of in our state. You know, we're in a room and a full of economic developers, some of the most talented economic developers in our nation. And we're very fortunate that diversity, equity, and inclusion is a part of economic development conversations now, because that wasn't always the case.
Right.
However, persons with disabilities will often tell you that they sort of feel like they're taking a little bit of a third row seat to those diversity conversations, to racial inequities or gender or sexual orientation inequities. And it's not malicious. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And so we are out there now working, listening to our folks across the state. We're starting that listening tour, but we're also pairing that with data. We just launched a research initiative with MZ Burning Glass, and we're fortunate to have Dr. Jerry Parrish come in and lead that for us. So we will be pairing everything that we learn from all of our communities with some data analytics so that we can go in and provide our persons with disabilities, our providers, and our businesses and families as well with the tools that they need.
Wow. And I guess for me, having been an employer, I think obviously what you say is the way I would feel is I would want to be part of this. I would want to take advantage of this. But as an, you know, unlike you and Dr. Ricardo, who had experience in all this, I would have not had any experience in dealing with disability. And so I would have been, you know, probably not able to engage in a program like this because I just wouldn't have understood it. I would have, like you say, I would have been fearful of how do I communicate with this individual? What are the accommodations? But what I hear you saying is that's where the Able Trust really fits in. You come to those employers, you help me understand what I need to do to really have that diverse and inclusive workforce.
Right. And we are, our strategic plan, we're kind of kicking that off right now, is called Inclusive Florida, powered by the Able Trust. And so what we're doing with that, I mentioned a little bit about our research, but our Inclusive Florida plan is really kind of three pronged. So we're looking at capacity building for those around the state. And then what can we learn? And then how can we scale it up? How can we scale it down to the needs of the business, of the community? We're looking at data and research. We cannot do this without the data. How can we help a business? How can we help a community if we don't know what the numbers are?
Right.
you know, we don't want to put a, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. And then the outreach, which is probably one of the most important things to me, is ensuring that Florida businesses and that our providers know that we're out there to be able to support them. If you call me with your business and say, you know, we're hiring and we realize that we could benefit from hiring a diverse population of persons with disabilities. I've got 10 openings. How can you help me? What I'm going to do is talk with our team. We're going to look at the providers in the area and make sure that we match you. This is all matchmaking. We're going to make sure that we're matching you with the right group that can help support you in your business needs. Right. And we're going to be very selective about that. And so, because I want to ensure that your relationship with that provider is going to be successful. So that's really at the core of what we're doing, is managing those relationships and helping to grow those relationships.
So again, for me, I really do see this as a win-win-win. It's a win for the employer who is facing what are some pretty tough times right now in the state of Florida, finding qualified individuals to fill much-needed positions. It's a win for those that you represent, disabled Floridians. And, you know, so I just, I really love the program and obviously... and thankful that you guys are out there doing what you do, because obviously for those employers that that don't understand all this, have a place now to turn. How does a business get engaged and collaborate with you?
All kinds of ways to get engaged with us, and thank you for asking that. If you're interested in the data and research for our friends here, I'm sure there'll be some recaps. Highly recommend everybody attend today or come back and watch it again. I'm sure they're going to record it. A great opportunity this afternoon with our president and CEO, Allison Chase, and Dr. Jerry Parrish, talking a little bit about that data and research. So the first thing I would say is reach out to us so that we can help you know your data in your community and what that looks like, even down to the county level. If you are looking to grow capacity, if you're looking for a model, but you're not sure how to do that, if your business recognizes the value but just doesn't know how to get started, reach out to us, and we'll be able to connect you with the right folks, or we'll come into your community, invite us to come and talk to your business, invite us to talk to your local chamber, or to come in and help, and we're happy to do that. So we're going to make sure we're connecting you with the right folks, and we have some incredible partners around the state that are helping to support that, as well as our board members that the governor has appointed. They're just pushing us to be the best, and we're committed to do that. But abletrust.org, recommend you going there. You can reach out to me, Donna, at abletrust.org, and I will be happy. If I don't have the answer, I'm going to help you find it.
And I guess I'll close with one question. We're really talking, too, about all, because you rattled off business school professors and, you know, clerks. And so we're really talking about all levels of work, all
Absolutely.
Industry sectors. So one of the issues that we hear most about is, you know, small to medium sized manufacturers. I'm again, assuming we are really talking about potential resources, potential, you know, team members in all sectors.
Right. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that. So the manufacturing industry is an incredibly attractive industry in our state for anyone. I mean, we never thought about Florida as a manufacturing state before, but guess what? We are. And so it's thinking of that sort of made me think about, I heard Greg this morning talking, and he said, you know, in Florida, entrepreneurism is on fire.
Right.
And I thought that is just absolute, that he's exactly right. And so one of the things we do through our high school high tech program that we have across the state is really teach that entrepreneurial spirit. So we recognize, by the way, that you can't just do this when individuals are already in the workforce. You have to start talking to students. You have to prepare students. So I'd be hard pressed not to mention our high school program. High school high tech is a career exploration program that the Able Trust runs all across the state of Florida. And we have 43 sites and are growing. And these are classrooms or after-school programs, if you will, that are designed for students with disabilities to help them get those career exploration opportunities. We get them out of the classroom and into the industries. And we have a lot of manufacturers that support this across the state. And these students, I got to tell you, Tom, these students are graduating at a 99% graduation rate. That's higher than our state's average. And 80% of our students on average are going into a post-secondary program. And then they're prime. They're ready for the job market right after that.
Sure.
And so we're incredibly proud of that program, and we'll be growing that in the next year, in the next 30 years across the state. So we'll be able to connect businesses right with the students, right with the talent.
Okay. Dr. Ricardo, any last thoughts here?
Well, I just think that this is really a terrific organization, and I'm going to let as many people as I know, you know, to follow up on sharing it. So it's great.
So it is Donna Wright, Director of Development and Marketing at the Able Trust. You can find them at abletrust.org. And I got to tell you, really one of the most impressive organizations, I think, working now in the state of Florida. And looking forward to the presentation with Dr. Jerry Parrish today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on here.
Great work, Donna.
We love you guys.
Always love talking to the Able Trust. And thank you, sir, Dr. Ricardo, for co-hosting again. And as I said early on, we're coming to you from the annual Florida Economic Development Conference right here in beautiful downtown St. Pete. So stay with us. There's more to come from the conference and from Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.